to how we go about it, and the appraisal of what the other side means when it speaks about peace and when it speaks about negotiation. Now, as far as we are concerned, Mr. President, you know that our stand has been from the beginning. We haven't changed that in negotiations at any time, anywhere. May I take a moment to tell you something that happened last May? A special envoy came from the president of Romania. Romania is the only East European country that has not severed the relationship with us. And he came in, he was the deputy foreign minister, he's now foreign minister. He came for 2 days and he said he was coming for a talk in the foreign office, but then he came to see me, and he said, actually, this is the reason that I've come to the country. I sent by my president. My president was in Egypt, and he met President Saddam. I don't know what he wants to say to you, but he would like to see you. And he asked you, is it possible for you to come to Bucharest? Of course. So I went to Bucharest, official visit, and I spent about 7 hours at least speaking with the president. Two sessions. The message that he brought was that he saw Saddam. Saddam just wants peace, but the important thing is that Saddam is prepared that there should be a meeting, a direct meeting, at some level between the Egyptian and Israel. And I said to the president, I said, this is the best news I've heard for a long, long time. By all means, if that could be possible, at any level, at any place. And he said, well, I'm very glad that this is how you accept it. And as a matter of fact, Dimitri was living, the rest of us there, and technical arrangements were made how he would convey the message to me after he had conveyed my message to Saddam. And I said, please, tell Saddam, we honestly and sincerely want peace. And at any level, at any time. And he said, look, I think it's probably in a week or 10 days, I'll have a message for you. The message never came. Twice during this period, I asked our ambassador to go, and he didn't want ambassadors to know his ambassador in Israel, not ambassador in Bucharest, fine. But I said, will you go and just ask, is there a message for me? Nothing was the subject of the message. Nothing. I'm sure that the Ceausescu delivered the message to Saddam. He wanted it. He saw this as an important mission for him and for Romania. Nothing happened. So as far as negotiations are concerned, we first thought direct negotiation. We still believe that that would be the right way. Prepared to go to indirect negotiations. When your government suggested what's called proximity talks, and we are still prepared at any moment that there's no question whatsoever. And then actually there is no difference of opinion in any corner in Israel as far as negotiations are concerned. With Egypt, with any one of the countries, with King Hussein,
very, very friendly atmosphere. Just the king sent a special message the day before yesterday from Florida to the Prime Minister.
He knew him to such an extent that when he left for a year, he took a cold a man with him, and he wanted to know how.
Message just the day before yesterday to the show.
Egyptians are approaching us. Rather than us go over them, they're coming to us.
Exactly.
And not for the first time. Now let's talk about the Russians quite candidly. The Russians are panning to get some sort of a settlement there. And I think the reason they're panning for it is that they want to get the Egyptian monkey off their back. There may be other reasons, but we won't try to judge Russian motives, except that they want something done there for some time. Now you don't want the Russians in your game. You'd rather have us in your game. You'd like to have the Russians, however, you know they got to play a role, because they've got to keep their clients from, you know what I mean, from breaking loose. So I would like to try a process where Dr. Kissinger, on a totally private basis, will explore with the Egyptians what is doable. He will not negotiate for you, understand. But he's got, you will have to let us know the areas that I would understand that you would be able to negotiate within. You're not going to negotiate the marriage, you're going to explore it. Now the other thing is that the same kind of thing can be done with the Russians. Not let me tell you what there's also this to be said. Brezhnev will probably be here sometime this year. Probably be here sometime this year. We know what the question is, whether it will be the early summer or the late summer, the early fall. Now, that therefore gives us a reason for us to be able to talk to him on this basis, or where, and you know, we didn't have long discussions with him. Never produced anything. Not yet, or have it.
No. And I've always kept.
Well, you know, I've said, you know.
All right, both of
them. Yeah, and like I said, they haven't produced anything. The Russian position has changed considerably. Remember the talk I had with Romeo and the talk we had with
actually not coming to some decision or to perhaps some agreement at our expense, let us say. Let me put it bluntly.
You don't want an agreement, that's right.
The Egyptians want the United States to deliver Israel. First they thought the Soviets would deliver Israel to them. Now they're pretty much disappointed with the Soviets. Now they want the Americans to deliver Israel to them. But I have to fear that you're going to deliver us to Israel, that you're going to squeeze Israel. All this terminology that is used by Saddam. And not only that, but I naturally expect that the United States will not take a stand of its own in this matter without consulting us, without us knowing what is happening. That is, that we don't get up one morning and find that the United States and the Egyptians and the United States and the Russians have come to some agreement, and then here it is, and we won't be able to accept it, because it isn't sovereignty that we want. That isn't the main thing. If we say we must have sovereignty in certain areas, it's because we must have security. Who, like Mr. President, would understand that? And the second thing is, what do the Egyptians really want? If the miracle would happen, and they would really want peace with us, and say, this is it, and then from now on, no confrontations and no threats, and so we live in peace. That would be the greatest day for Israel. We know that that isn't what they mean. We know that they speak to their close friends and say they want all kinds of things. They want Israel to go back to the 67 border. They want afterwards to drive Israel to the 47 border. And after that, Israel will have to settle its matters with the Palestinians. Palestinians means Arafat, means terrorists. So we agree that the practical approach is this special agreement on Israel. We are prepared. Yes. We've said, and we say to you, we say, that the line to which we are prepared to withdraw from the Suez Canal is a temporary line. We don't say that this is the final line. The final line is a peace treaty with negotiation that will have to be agreed upon between us and the Egyptians. But as a interim agreement, when we say we will step back, it means a lot for us to leave our fortifications and step back. These fortifications
under the Suez Canal, which is
yes. The Suez Canal is the natural block between us and the Egyptian army. And someday when the story will be told, the number of guns on our side and the number of guns on the other side, probably nobody will believe it. This is one of the reasons why it's so essential for us to have an air force, because there's no comparison with the number of guns that they have on their side and we have on ours. We can't afford it. We're not in manpower nor in guns. So when we say we are prepared to leave this, the strongest point that we have vis-a-vis the Egyptians and the fortification, we are doing something. We're taking a risk. We're prepared to take a risk for peace. In addition to that, we say, all right, they want to clear the Suez Canal. We agree. We want them to clear the Suez Canal. We want them to operate the Suez Canal in order to have a division of forces, which is not only in talk, not only in agreement, but if the canal is operated, we hope they will begin shooting. We hope they will begin to rehabilitate the people in the towns that have been destroyed on the other side, bring them back, normal life there, which again is a guarantee, almost a guarantee, that they won't start shooting again. We say naturally they want to clear the Suez Canal, they will have to bring over some personnel, technicians and so on. We are prepared to say something, which I'm sure that some people in the country would like to chop our heads off for that. Some policemen, there are civilians there, any policemen there, fine, they can come. We first stage that they should recognize our principle that we have the right of shipping through the Suez Canal. But our liberties are still different. We've lived so long without the Suez Canal, we're trying to live a mile longer. This, we are often told, you must do something in space saving for Saddam. That's a lot for Saddam, space saving. He has the canal. And in practice, there's no Israeli shipping. Although, on principle, he must recognize our right of shipping in the Suez Canal. So it seems to me that in the context of this kind, with all these points, that there is something that can be done if they really want it.
And this, Mr. President, has never been negotiated before. I mean, the proposals have never been formally put to the other side.
Well, let me ask this. Should they be?
I'm prepared to go home and fight for this.
Never publicly. You're talking about doing this publicly?
No, no, this is... Well, we have a number of decisions to make. Me, the Prime Minister, and I had a long talk yesterday about what for,
yeah.
And she mentioned these points. And she was willing to make its Israeli position and contribution to this. We then have this question. We can do it in one of two ways. We can either let the State Department start an interim negotiation procedure, an interim settlement procedure without putting the specifics in the interim to get the proximity talks going,
yeah,
in order to have something going. Keep these positions back until
you
really
tell that the State Department at this point.
I think it wouldn't be wise for
because they were
the Prime Minister, which
yeah,
give those points away.
Well, you could say it'd be reasonable, but I wouldn't tell them off this morning.
I think that would fit it better into our private chat.
I think the advantage of doing that, you've got to have something for the State Department's got to be doing something, and of course the Egyptians need something in the public area as well. Point is that the it seems to me that maybe you're going to cover this the procedure, the better procedure is to have them move better, but not put this whole position out there.
Then
you take the other position, you take the position and go in and talk, and then in other words, sell it 2 or 3 times. You know, you're good at that.
For instance, question. Of the line to which we will refer. We will never say in public now that we are prepared eventually to withdraw to the passes. But not one step. But we wouldn't say that. I may say, I won't say to the State Department because then it will be given away.
Start there to negotiate. That's the point.
If we will,
you've got to be in a position. That's why the private negotiation is better. Because you've got to be in a position and you know what you're willing to do, and then you give part and you end up here. Otherwise, if you say it here, you end up here. That's the way it works.
At this stage, first of all, we don't have to trigger anything for a few weeks, but they'll have enough to talk about just discussing procedures on how to get the talks started.
Right.
That's going to occupy everyone.
That's what the State ought to do. The procedure.
They'll come to you with a proposal.
So, this, accepted that they would get MiGs 23. He invited pilots to come to Russia immediately to begin training with MiGs 23.
We always get transcripts of these Egyptian conversations.
So
that's why I say you don't.
We don't keep the secrets from you either. But I would say that just to make this point, that the Russians do not encourage them to for compromise, and certainly they don't encourage them to make any compromise with you. This was
the it may be to put Saddam in the disadvantage if they always ahead of him. Then if he doesn't make a settlement, later. There is such a recommendation. Now, when you explore sympathetically at the later stage to meet the requirements of the Prime Minister in numbers.
The number of drugs. Oh, yeah, we admit that's why I say we agree in principle, but that means on your request. Yeah, you need compliance. The question is the numbers, however, we've got your thoughts and we've listened sympathetically and now we'll explore it sympathetically, but let's work out that number. How's that sound to you?
You
know,
I always get it.
You did!
Now about the production.
The production was. I would like.
You want 200. And we give 100. Is that fair enough? That I give it.
At least. Okay. At least 100. Right?
No, we. I saw the number situation, but let me say that that's a good number, and that's quite a burden on your economy too. So we'll. No, I think 100 is a good number, don't you?
Yes.
And
but. The question is why not explain what the problem is. What's the problem? The problem is that to get the know-how, we got the know-how for the production of the prototype.
Right.
sure that you, Mr. President, cannot conceive of anything of that kind. Neither can I, but that's the fact. They go to the end of the story, and the procedure is one sane man in a ward of 20 aggressive bad men. It's inconceivable. And then they send them to prison. There are about 30, over 30 men and women in Siberian prisons now, only because they want to go to Israel. And there's real anti-Semitism, official anti-Semitism. And they would only at this ransom business, it's really highway robbery. Tens of thousands of rubles that they expect from families. And this they do in order to scare Jews away, that they shouldn't, and to get probably foreign currency. Now, if they would only adopt a policy, Jews that want to leave, let them go. A Jew applies, he's immediately sent away from his work. According to the rules in Russia, anybody that does not work is a parasite, is upwards of 4 or 5 months. They send him away from work, they bring him up for trial, they send him to the same town, or to a Siberian prison.
Well, let me say that
issue.
There are about 30 cases of this kind
of behavior. I think they're capable of everything.
Now, we don't intend that the Russians should come out and say, well, we don't come now on. No ransom, every Jew can go. We know that. But I'm sure that your pressure, and I don't ask you to do it in public.
Well, you see, the problem, when I say ask me to do it in public, it puts us here, me, in a very difficult position where senators, of course, most Democrats and an awful lot of Republicans and congressmen come out and they say, supported by and instigated by the Israeli government, as well as the American Jewish community, they come out to say the whole Russian policy must cease initially unless they do something about the Jewish immigrant. Now, the ambassador's been very good about this, you know. We want, but you see, if you do that, then the thing could turn the other way, because a lot of people here say, what? We're not going to have progress on salt. We're not going to have progress in these other things because we're making this a condition to it. If it would work with the Russians, I'd do it. But you see the problem?
I understand, but Mr. President,
I have a lot of problem, I can assure you. You'll get results. But if this sort of thing, if the Congress passes something like that, that's going to, I think, be very bad.
That's the main problem to prevent. I mean, not to inflame the senators, to put on Jackson, for instance. I know that your ambassador has a little influence on what was happening.
Say yes. Jackson's a very
old man.
You see, I can't say to the Jews of the United States because
you've got to talk about this issue.
I won't say it because it's. I can't. Not because I can't say it for any political reason, but I can't say it to the United States. Don't worry about the Russian Jews.
I know that. Oh,
no.
You
can't
say it.
There are 3.5 million Jews in Russia.
Oh, yes.
That not all of them will come to Israel. But I know there are 80,000 to 90,000 Jews that have applied for exit visas to Israel. And the Russians are fools.
Yeah.
They could get all the goodwill in the world.
Absolutely.
They're